This is Alive with Joseph.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are we ready tonight? Amen. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. That's the scripture we're studying. And I learned from Brother Hagin how to stay with one scripture. Brother Hagin will stay with one scripture for 6 weeks sometimes. Sometimes 3 months, non-stop, same scripture. And he stayed with one scripture for a lifetime. Stayed with that scripture for a lifetime. And that marked me a lot, and that's what we're doing here. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. We will pick up from where we stopped yesterday. Revelation 19 verse 10. Can we read together in unison? One, two, go. Well, let's read the B portion, All right, one, two, go. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the... Now, can we read that together in unison? One, two, go. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of... One more time, read it. One, two, go. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we looked at it yesterday that the testimony of Jesus is the message of the gospel. Am I right? And that when a man believes that message, when we talk about that testimony, yeah, I know generally we use the word testimonies and all the rest, but in context is referring to the message of the gospel. Jesus came, he paid the price for our sins, took our place, glory to God, paid the debt that we owed that we could never pay, all right? And then we believed him and received his life. You know, many a times we say things like, I gave my life to Jesus. And the truth of the matter is your life was not what much. So what was the essence of giving it to him? Salvation is not giving Jesus your life, it's receiving his life. Glory to God. Years ago, my brother and I, when we were much younger, would go on the streets of Lagos to preach. And if you ever go on the streets to preach, you meet different kinds of people. Amazing, interesting people. So my brother walks up to this guy, and then he says to him, have you given your life to Jesus? And that's the best we knew. I mean, and God worked with it. And so the guy looks at my brother, and he goes, do you mean, are you a church person? My brother says, no, are you born again? And that complicated matters, because he really had not heard much about being born again. So my brother explained, give your life to Jesus. So he goes, oh, that one. He says, yeah, I gave my life to Christ and I've collected it several times back. You know, I don't know how many of you ever had to come out to the front for several rededications. I mean, and when we ask you now, when did you get born again? You go, well, I'm not sure. I came out like 20 times, but I think the last time was 2020. And then you're almost sure, okay, that's about when I got born again. And so really and truly, we don't give him our life, we receive his life. All right? The testimony of Jesus. And then he says to us that when a man receives that testimony, believes in that testimony, really what you have received into you is what is called the spirit of prophecy. And the spirit of prophecy, whilst it refers to the Holy Spirit in his ministry, refers to a realm of operation. Are you following what I'm saying here? That everyone who is born into the kingdom of God is born into a kingdom ruled and governed by what? Prophecy. Now, there are layers of meaning to this. And I just wanted to introduce it yesterday. And we'll probably, you know, like you're peeling onions and all the rest. You take the first layer, the second layer, the third layer. First layer, I established that yesterday. All right? Which is when you receive the testimony of Jesus, the message of the gospel, you are born into a world that's ruled by prophecy. The church is a house of prophecy. We're built by prophecy, advanced by prophecy. Everything that will happen in your life, according to God's prophetic plan for your life, prophetic destiny hanging over your life, will have to be through the instrumentality of prophecy. Now, the truth of the matter is, this is one of the least understood subjects in the body of Christ today. One of the least understood subjects. for a lot of reasons. I mean, the bastardization, the extremes and the excesses, and the moment somebody hears prophecy or the prophetic, they go, nah, please excuse me, and all the rest. And what we don't realize is that we are products of prophecy. We're where we are today because of prophecy. And we're going to get to where God wants us to be because of prophecy. Glory to God. Now, I want us to read this in the New Living Translation, Revelations 19:10, because it introduces another thought, a concept, the B portion, to the subject, another layer of truth and meaning there. Look at what it says. It says, the B portion, it says, worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness of Jesus. Are you still here with me tonight? We're going to read a couple of scriptures, but you know, it's like when you're cooking, you get all the condiments and all the materials out and doesn't look like anything until it's done. Glory to God. Now, he says that the essence of prophecy in any form, in any way and manner in which prophecy is expressed, whatever level, whatever dimension of prophecy it is, it says the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness of Jesus. Now, with this, you can already, it's like the litmus test to when the prophetic is either of God or of the devil. All right? I mean, this is the easiest way. That anytime you see a flow of the prophetic, it always gives witness to Jesus, not the vessel. Are you following what I'm saying here? And so when you have an expression of the prophetic and you are more concerned, more enthused, more excited about the vessel, then there could be something wrong there. And you see, the interesting thing about it is this, is that a man can function by the Spirit in the morning and function by a familiar spirit at night. Oh, it's possible. Same person. In the morning, a pure flow, a pure stream of the anointing of God's Spirit. And by evening, the person is functioning by a familiar spirit. You see, the reason why is this. The gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit are as He will it, not as we demand. And the problem many a times is that when we decide to put the gifts and the manifestation on demand, we become performers, not ministers. Are you following what I'm saying here? So what happens here is this. Let's imagine, for example, I start functioning a prophetic gift. And I say to you, well, my dear sister, this is what the Lord says. And then I tell you something about your past. I tell you about the future. And then I point to somebody else, and I point to somebody else, and I point to somebody else. You know what will happen is most times, most likely, the next time anybody meets me, they go, what is God saying? And sometimes we should have the humility enough to say, I don't know, because I'm not God. If he's not said anything, then keep short. The problem is that we want to save face and look like the man of God or the anointed of God. And then, you know, once we open ourselves up, well, a demon spirit is going to accommodate you. A familiar spirit will accommodate you. And the thing with familiar spirits is that they know a lot, and what they know is right. And so the fact that it's right does not mean it's of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? And the reason why I'm starting out this way is a lot of people have been literally their lives, their hands, fingers burnt, their lives literally messed up because of the excessive, the wrong use of the prophetic gift. But I can tell you it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. I said it's a blessing. I said it's a blessing. I said it's a blessing. Now, you have that office of the prophet, which we'll come to in just a bit. But just like every office in the body of Christ, please stay with me tonight. I always will say to people that any grace, any gifting, any flow of the Spirit that you find manifest through a certain ministry office, there is a seed and a form of it in every believer. Now, let's take it one by one, for example. The Bible tells us of the fivefold offices. Let's start with the office of an evangelist. He's called to reach the lost. Am I right? But you'll agree with me that the ministry of reconciliation is given to every believer. So before you have the office of an evangelist, you have the ministry of reconciliation. Are we together? Now, if you tell me that there's the office of a teacher, all right, and then, you know, maybe God has given him the ability, you know, to bring counsel and utterance to God's people and all the rest. But you'll agree with me that every believer is expected to be apt to teach, to be able to explain what they have believed. It's all there in scriptures.
Now, if you tell me that there's the office of maybe a pastor or shepherd, you'll agree with me that everyone, the Bible says the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. Jesus spoke about everyone being their brother's keeper, the shepherd's ministry. There's a form of a shepherd's ministry that every single believer can function in. So if we talk about a prophetic ministry, there is a seed of it in every believer. Are you following what I'm saying here? That every one of the fivefold offices, as we have it established in the body of Christ, there's a seed of it that is already established in the heart of every believer. And God puts it there for your growth. He puts it there for your furtherance. He puts it there for your equipping. He puts it there for your advancement. And guess what? You can only get as much as you use. Which means if God puts it there, you will only be benefited to the extent that you use it. It's not how much you have, it's how much you use. And so I can say to you that every single believer, everyone looking at me here, there's a seed of the prophetic. You know, once you believe the testimony of Jesus, now you're born into a realm governed by prophecy. Now, if you don't know it, if you don't use it, then you will not enjoy it. It's not enough to have it. And that's why we have the teaching ministry. That's why this is a word church. You know, sometimes people take for granted word churches. You know, they go, oh, word, word, word. Can I tell you something? I was in prayer one time and the Lord said this to me. He said, you know, if I died in Nazareth, in Israel, in the land and all the rest, and nobody tells the story, it would have been a wasted death. In essence, he reduced everything he did to utterance. The power of utterance. So Paul speaking, he says, he that worketh miracles amongst you and doeth, ministereth the Spirit to you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Which means once the word is being taught, Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, conference after conference, as the word is being taught, you think you are just hearing words. No, the Spirit is being ministered to you. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? And then you find out that all of a sudden, there are certain things you're walking into you didn't pray about. There are things that you're enjoying you didn't pray about. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Graces and abilities that are functioning through you that you never thought of. Well, Pastor Joseph and Pastor Cordelia labored to bring you the word. For the words that they speak, they are what? Spirit and what? Life. The Bible tells us of a man who was lame from his mother's womb. Do you know what it means to be lame from his mother's womb? I have an idea because I train as a doctor. So I have an idea. If you're lame from your mother's womb, number one, I can tell you that none of the muscles that control locomotive movement and locomotion and all the rest, none of them would have been developed. It's called atrophy by disuse. In this case, not even disused because it was never used. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So chances are that the legs will be dangling. Are you following what I'm saying here? No muscle and all the rest. But the Bible says Peter was teaching. All he was doing was teaching. He wasn't doing anything extra. He wasn't waving his hands. Are you getting what I'm saying here? He was just teaching. And then Peter saw that the man had faith to be healed. He looked at the man and he says, "Rise up and walk." And a man who never in his life had never had the experience or the ability, the understanding, the history of working. Are you following what I'm saying here? Not only did the Bible say he walked, go read it. The Bible says he leaped, number one, then he walked. Not that he walked and he leaped. I'm telling someone here. You think you're going to walk. You think, oh, maybe I've been crawling. The next step is to walk. No. I'm saying by the ministry of the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? You are leaping out of this place. Leaping out. What changed in the man's life? What he had. That's all. What he had changed his history. What he had changed his experience. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? And guess what? You're hearing something tonight. Hallelujah. Now let's stay with this scripture, the NLT. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. Let's stay with the scripture. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 19:10 in the NLT. It says, worship God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness of Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, a witness refers to two things. Please listen to me. In Acts, the first chapter, the 8th verse, it says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will become a witness. Not that you shall give witness. Are you following what I'm saying here? It says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you, the person, will become a witness. Are you following what I'm saying here? In essence, the witness can be what is said, and the witness can be, that's why they say, we need you to stand in the witness box. It's only a witness that can give a witness. Oh, you did. I don't know if you got what I'm saying. I don't know if you got what I said. Which means you have to first be a witness before you can give a witness. So when it says that the essence of prophecy is to give clear witness, it means that prophecy will make you a witness. In essence, when people look at you, it's called being conformed to the image of Jesus. When people look at you, all they can say is, this looks like Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Now, the interesting thing about this is this. I don't know. Can I have one or two gentlemen, please? The men in black. Thank you, sir. Can I have the third one? Just the third one. And now I want to ask you a big question. Okay. Thank you. Wow. Am I safe? All right. You know the way they just came at me. All right. Now, this is a lady. You agree with me, right? That's a lady. Sorry? You're a guy. You're a guy. You're sure. You're so sure. All right. I made a mistake. That's a lady. All right. So he's a lady. All right. Are we agreed on that? No. Why are all of you sure they are guys? You can see them. Now, the hair. Oh, okay. Because there's not. All right. So the hair he has here. All right. The hair here. Does it look like what he has here? Do they look exactly alike? No, that's not true. If they are all guys, they look alike. Oh, you don't agree with what I'm saying here? Why then do you say they are all guys if they don't look alike? They have the same features expressed differently. So when he says that we are conformed to the image of Christ, it doesn't mean all of us will be clones. He's saying that the same features of Christ will be expressed differently through each and every one of us. So one of us will be a Pastor Joseph. Another of us will be a CEO. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Oh boy, I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. That we are all guys, but we don't look the same. So how come we agree that we are all guys? Because we have the same feature. But we express, that means you're going to be a sanguine. You are going to be sanguine Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying here? He's not going to change you to that quiet person. No, you're going to be the joyful, bubbly one. And yet they'll see Jesus through you. You're going to be that quiet person. Doesn't like talking much. Yet they will see Jesus through you. You're going to be a bank manager. Yet they'll see Jesus through you. You'd be a pastor. Yet they'll see Jesus through you. What are we saying? That being a witness, being conformed to the image, does not mean we are clones. It just means that the many-sided wisdom of God now finds expression through our individuality, through our uniqueness. You know, Pastor, growing up, thank you, sirs, because so that I'm safe. All right. You know, but the man there, the brother there told me, he said, Pastor, you're safe. We're here. So I'm safe, right? Yeah, thank you. You know, growing up, sir, I listened to a quite number of people. And one of the people I really loved was T.D. Jakes. I loved him. Even though I knew I was called to be a teacher, T.D. Jakes was a preacher. But I loved, you know, the expression. You know. Ooh. And then he would clean the back of... You know what I'm talking about. I mean, the expressions, the theatrics. Oh, my God. I thought this is beautiful. So I went to church. Fellowship. I was still a campus student. I went to fellowship one day, and I went, you know. First things first, everybody was looking at me strange. And when I was done, I needed pain relief. I thought to myself, I can't be serving God and using pain relief. This is not me. I found out that the quiet me is what Jesus wants. He doesn't need another T.D. Jakes. He needs you. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It tells us that the spirit of prophecy, the assignment is to confirm you. He's not trying to produce a clone. But he's saying the Holy Ghost is working on you, bringing something out of you. That when you sit down on your chair on Monday morning, your colleagues and all those around you are going to say, Jesus is here. That's the work of the Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying here? So he the job he has there, please stay with me, is not just to give you a witness to say something. It's that you become the witness. The evidence of the risen Christ. The evidence of the risen Christ. Now, let me make a quick detour, but this will help us in understanding what I'm trying to teach you. There are three things that this Holy Spirit will do, or that he is doing. You follow what I'm saying here? To bring us into conformity with the image of Christ. Three things. These are three, as it were, I mean, not exactly right, parallel operations of the Spirit in your life, and he's doing this, whether you are aware of it or not, to bring you into conformity with the image of his Son. Now, there's an image, if they can help me, that the three, those three things, three concentric, eccentric, all right, circles and all the rest. And I just want you to take note of this. This will help you. The first thing he's doing is bringing you the generic will of God in redemption. That's every man should be saved. Every man should be born again. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you think that you just woke up and you got saved. No, the Holy Ghost was working on you long ago. Some of you got saved in university. Why did you go to that university? Why do you think you met the person you met? If you had gone to another school, maybe you would not have gotten that message that got you saved. Are you following what I'm saying here? Some of you couldn't enter school at the right time. Are you getting what I'm saying here? In essence, everything you think is coincidence, no. It's the hand of the Spirit working behind the scene to bring you to a place of salvation. The Holy Ghost at work behind the scenes. Now you say yes to the Lordship of Jesus. And through the teaching of God's word, he begins to show you the generic will. He wants you healed. He wants you blessed. He wants you this. He wants you prosperous. He wants you settled. Are you following what I'm saying here? And he's doing all of these things. But do you know you can be healed and out of his will? You can be healed. You can be prosperous and completely out of God's plan for your life. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I don't have the time, for the sake of time, I'm going to run, but please stay with me. He says, no man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. He says, in the same way, no man knoweth the things of God, except the spirit of God. In essence, they are the things of a man, and they are the things of God. What are the things of God? This is the generic will of God in redemption. The things that he has established for every man. Are you following what I'm saying here? God has given every man, every man, these things. Whether you are South African or you are American, it doesn't matter. He says redemption. He has given us a name whereby all men should be saved. It has nothing to do with your pedigree. It has nothing to do with your history. It has nothing to do with your background. It is called the things of God. But they are the things of a man. Which means, yes, God wants everybody prosperous. But for some of us, he's in Polokwane. For others, he's in Joburg. Which means he wants all of us prosperous. But there's a place for the prosperity. So he said to the prophet, he said, I have commanded ravens to feed you. And the place was called the Brook Cherit. In essence, it's not enough that he commanded the ravens to feed him. The things of God. God wants everybody fed. But there is a place where you shall be fed. That's why when people say, I can go to any church. No, sir, you can't go to any church. No, 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 no. No, there's a place where your name is. There's a roll call. Are you following what I'm saying here? Where your word is waiting for you. You know, can I speak a bit to this? When you read the book of Revelations, I hope you know it's divided into two broad parts. There's Revelation chapter 1 to chapter 3 thereabout, and then from chapter 4. Now, how did I divide it that way? I mean, that's probably not the way theologians divide it, but I divided it that way for a reason. Because from chapter 1 to chapter 3, most of it is in red, which means Jesus is the one speaking. Now, from chapter 4, it's all in black with sprinkles of red here and there. Now, what does it mean? Now, what is between chapter 1 and chapter 3? Everything he said to the churches. He said to the angel of the church of so-and-so, when Jesus wanted to talk to the church, when he needed a message to get into the churches, he came and spoke himself. But when he was going to talk about the nations and the world in general, he sent angels. The message about the world and the events of the world was brought by the hand of angels. But when he wanted to talk about the church, he said, angels, step aside. Let me talk to my church. And here is the interesting thing. What he said to one was not what he said to the other. So imagine you are in the church of Laodicea and you went to collect the word from Smyrna. You say, but it's Jesus that is speaking everywhere. No, sir. No, sir. What he said to, listen to me. What he said to a live church is for a live church. Stay in a live church. Stay there. Your word is there. What he said to another is fine. Let them enjoy it. It's for them. Are you following what I'm saying here? Imagine you take Laodicea, Smyrna, you take this and you take that. You know what's going to happen? You're in the natural, you're going to have to visit the toilet a lot. Many people have spiritual diarrhea. They just don't know it. How did I get into that? Forgive me, everybody. Are you still here? So there's the generic will of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? These are the things of God. And there's the specific will of God for every man. Now, just look at this. The generic will there, the specific will of God for your life. And then the character of Christ. Which means there's the image, the character of Christ, the person of Christ. Are you following what I'm saying here? The humility of Christ, the love of Christ. Now, why is these three things are the things that the Holy Ghost is doing, working in tandem all at the same time to forge his image out of you. Are you following what I'm saying here? In essence, please listen, because we use that word generally, all right? You know, the image of Christ, conformity to the image of Christ. What does it mean in clear terms? It means that I am standing in the fullness of my redemptive rights, walking in his specific will for my life, expressing the character of Christ. Why are these three things important? Look at those small boxes, those small angles there. If you're walking in generic will, which means you're blessed, you're prosperous, and then you have the character of Christ, but you're not walking in the specific will of God for your life, what happens is that you live a discontented life. You have cars, but there's something that is lacking inside you. You sleep on your bed and you wake up. Everybody says, I love the life you are living. If I can just live in this kind of house. And you say, I will give up this house to know what my life is about. An unfulfilled life. Now, if you look at that other corner there, you see, you have the character of Christ. Holy sister, holy brother, walking in the love of God. Anytime you see people, I celebrate you. Are you getting what I'm saying here? You are, the people talk to you, say, bless you. You are the character of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying here? When we see you, we see Christ. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you're walking in the specific will of God. You have found out this is what I should be doing in my life. But the generic will is lacking. You're sick. You're broke. You know what's going to happen? You will live a frustrated life. You will have visions that you can't bet. You will see crusades as a minister, you can't pay for them. You will see visions of companies as a believer, you don't have capital for. We're going somewhere tonight. Please stay with me. And then you have that other corner there, which means you're walking in general will of God. You're saved, you're rich, you're this and all the rest. The specific will of God, and this is a major one. It's a major one. The specific will of God, but there's no character. It is what is called an aborted destiny. Which means by your own hand, your own hands, you will destroy what God is doing in your life. You will sit down at work one day and you will lash out on all of your staff because you don't have patience. You don't have the largeness of heart to accommodate people's failings. And then everybody, they will name your, don't work in that place, so she's a terrible person. They will say, she's carrying sticker of church everywhere, but Kai, fear how? Oh, I don't know. From where I come, Jan, our artisans are the most, our artisans are the most interesting human beings on earth. You tell a plumber or an electrical person to come to your house, he will tell you, he say, I'm on my way. Say, can you hear? I'm on the road. This guy is fixing somebody else's pipe. He hasn't left. I don't know if that's the case here, but we have a lot of them in my country. Amazing people, to the extent that believers don't even want to do business with believers anymore. They don't want to do business with anybody. They say, yeah, no, I'd rather do it outside of church. And yet these people, may be tongue-talking, standing in the will of God for their lives, but they shut down on the doors that God is opening by their character. So what is the image of Christ? The revelation of the complete will of God, the full gospel, my redemptive rights, standing and walking in it, but it's not enough. Knowing exactly what the specific will of God is for my life, I'm walking that path, but it's not enough. Expressing the character of Christ, then you say that man is conformed. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Can I tell you something? That across these three are the different strong theological and denominational lines we have around the world, irrespective of their names. Some, all they talk about is the generic will of God. Some, all they talk about is the character. Holiness, the scripture union movement. Are you following what I'm saying here? The holiness movement, and that's all they talk about. But what happens is after 50 years, 40 years down the line, many of them get offended in God because they say, I served you, yet I'm broke. That's what happens down the line. Then you have those who are emphasis on the generic will of God, salvation, prosperity, and all the rest. Are you following what I'm saying here? And because character is not being developed, after a while, they get rich, they start coming to church. Now the wealth becomes a platform for the expression of their lusts. Are you following what I'm saying here? But what is the work of the Spirit? Bringing these three things together. Now, how does he do it? Are we still together tonight? It tells us that he does it by what is called the spirit of prophecy. Number one being what? And I told you the three dimensions there. If we can have that picture there. The three dimensions of the spirit of prophecy being number one what? We looked at it yesterday. The prophecy of scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying here? The prophecy of scriptures, which means that the Holy Ghost, the first thing he begins to do in your life is that he begins to train you with the word. He begins to show you portions of the scripture that contains your destiny. When Jesus went into the wilderness, after that supernatural encounter and all the rest, the Bible tells us what the Holy Ghost was doing there was training him with the word. Are you following what I'm saying here? Training him with the word. That's the first thing the Holy Ghost begins to do. But can I tell you the second thing he begins to do? He begins to train you in the art of prayer. Say with me, the art of prayer. God said this to me many years ago. It must have been about maybe 20 years ago now. I remember exactly where I was praying. And the Lord said to me, he said, if I can make you a man of prayer, I've made you a success. And I said to him, I asked him, I said, you said if. He said, because your will is involved. He said, when Peter, James, and John, I told them to come and pray with me. He said, I could not force them. He says, I had to tell them, come and join me, and they refused. He said, if I can make you a man of prayer, I have made you what? A success. Now, please listen to me. Jesus was praying one time, and the Bible says that the disciples saw him praying, and they said to him, they said, Lord, teach us to pray, not how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. You see, the truth of the matter is many of us know how to pray. Are you following what I'm saying here? Many of us know there's different levels and steps of prayer, the different types of prayer, but the only way you know to pray is to pray. A man said the only way you can become a fisherman is not by going to fishing school, it's by going to the sea. The only way you learn to pray is to pray. If you don't pray, the Bible says you will faint. Men ought always to pray, or else what will happen? They will what? Faint. If you don't pray, your faith will fail. I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. If you don't pray, you will fall into temptation. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? In essence, as he trains you with the word, he begins to train you in what is called the art of prayer. In fact, there's a scripture, Acts, the 8th chapter, the 9th chapter, that blesses me so much. After Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus, the Bible says when the Holy Ghost appeared, or the Lord spoke to Ananias, the disciple, go and meet Saul and tell him this and lay hands on him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The description the Holy Ghost gave, I need you to go and study it. He didn't say that he's a tall man. He didn't say he's a dark man. The only description, personal description, that the Holy Ghost gives of Paul is that, for behold, he prayed. In essence, when God was going to give witness about a man, and he says the way to find a man is that he will be the one praying. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? He says, for behold what? Come on, shout it with me, he prayed. Come on, say with me, he prayed. Look at the person beside you and tell them, you prayed. Nobody can step into God's will for their life without understanding the art of prayer. Let me tell you something. Please listen very carefully to me. Much of what the Spirit of God does for us, 90% of it is not in our conscious activity. Listen, it is only about 10% that is in the conscious activities. What do I mean by that? That conscious, I made a choice, my son, get up, do this. 90% of it is alignment, which means you are just the right person at the right place at the right time. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? And that is absolutely impossible if you're not given to prayer. It's not possible. It's not possible. The art of prayer. You're going to see how it's going to connect into what I'm trying to share with you now. Because the goal of prayer, please listen to me, ultimately the goal of prayer is that we can access the mind of the Father. That's the goal of prayer. Listen to me and please listen to me well. Listen to me, please, and listen to me well. Jesus told us to ask and receive. So he made a case for us to bring petitions before him. He made a case for us to bring our needs before him. And so that will forever be scripturally correct. But I want to ask you a question. The Word made flesh prayed all night long. The one that created everything in the universe. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. My question to you is, what was he praying about all night long? The Word made flesh woke up early in the morning. Are you following what I'm saying here? And spent the early part of the watches praying. My question to you is, if he made everything, is somebody following what I'm saying here? Do you realize that at no point in the ministry of Jesus do you find him praying about his needs? Just to let you know, he's the Word made flesh, so there's no need. Peter came and said, we need tax to pay. They will shut down the ministry if we don't pay our tax. What did Jesus do? The Bible says that he told Peter, go and fish. The first fish that you catch, the coin is waiting there. They came and said, we don't have enough to feed this multitude. He said, go and look for what you can get. They came back, they told him nonsense stories. The Bible says he knew within himself what he will do. And then he turned around, they said, there's 5 loaves. This little boy took it, blessed it. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? I'm trying to show you that there's an entry use of prayer, but there's a higher use of prayer. That the entry use, please listen to me, so that you don't criticize things just ignorantly. I hear people say things like, you know, why is the church, all they are concerned about is miracle. And all the church are miracle seekers. Let me tell you this. You cannot say to a man, follow me, I will make you fishers of men, if you have not given him fish. So before Jesus made a demand of discipleship, he met his need in a dimension where forever in Peter's mind, he knew that he would never have a need. So usually the first encounter that people have with God is on the basis of their needs. They are sick, they are broke, they are in need, they are in trouble. Are you following what I'm saying here? And God then raises men and women who carry a grace and an anointing to stand in the gap for them. Are you following this here? Now, the problem is that then you see people in the body of Christ who start criticizing that. They say, the church is just about miracle seekers and all the rest. What should it be about? What should it be about? What should it be about? But the essence of that is that after I have given you fish, then I can now teach you and place a demand on you in such a dimension that you can leave the fish. Which means what you came out to give testimony about, you can lay it at the feet of the master, knowing full well that he will do it again. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So the entry point many a times is on the basis of needs. God trains us with petition and all the rest, but the higher use, Just like in Genesis chapter 1. He says there was the lesser light, there was the greater light. Which means always in God, hear me, there will be lesser light, but it's light. And what gives the greater light? Why you can call it greater light is because it's in comparison to another light. So what gives validity and value to the greater light is the existence of the lesser light. Let's stop criticizing our fathers. Let's stop criticizing those who went ahead of us who didn't know about as much as we know. There's a generation that has come now that sees father, that knows better. Are you following what I'm saying here? And then we start despising our fathers that labored in years past. What you don't know is this. We cannot be called greater light if the lesser light was not there. We cannot. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Please stay with me tonight. So the entry point is the prayer of petition, the prayer of needs. People start seeing miracles in their lives. But let me tell you this. The higher use of prayer is the entrance into the will of God. That's the higher use of prayer. Teach us to pray, O Jesus, our Father, who art in heaven. Look at priority. Hallowed be your name. Fellowship. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Do you see that? Before we then enter into, give us this day our daily bread. Not how to pray, but to pray. This is what prayer looks like. It looks like fellowship coupled with what? Following and pursuing the will of God. That's what it looks like. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Now, let me tell you how this works. As you now start building that altar of prayer in your life, because nobody can build an altar of prayer for you. Let me tell you something. Listen, please, everybody hear me and hear me well. It is actually better. After a season of, you know when Paul says, for the time when you ought to be teachers, which means after a while, in the calendar and the agenda of God, he actually expects that you should have outgrown some things. You may excuse yourself, but heaven will not excuse you. He will say, for the time when you ought to be teacher. Some of you have been in this church for 5 years. For the time when you ought to be teacher. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't come and then pastor does not call you or does not visit you, are angry. For the time when you ought to be a leader. If you don't like me again. You follow what I'm saying? For the time when you ought to be teachers. Which means, after a while, please listen. There's a point you get to in your growth and in your journey with God. Where it is better you were not saved. Than you are saved without a prayer altar. Can I tell you something? Please note what I said and how I said it. I didn't say everybody. I said after a while in your walk with God, by reason of what you have heard, by reason of what you have been exposed to, are you listening to what I'm saying here? Which means the dealings of God will be at a certain level. I was on a call with one of my daughters today and I was saying to her, I said, you have to rise up to what God has placed on the inside of you. Because seasons don't wait for your preparation. No, listen, heaven will not withhold rain because a farmer forgot to plant. It will not withhold rain. Seasons don't wait for your preparation. Which means if you don't take advantage of the season, God will start dealing with you at a certain level. You get what I'm saying here? Before, if you just say, Jesus, everything was coming running back and call. You came to church and as they were singing, you see all these beautiful songs they are singing. As they are singing, you just, and miracles everywhere. Many of you will agree with me. After a while in your life, it wasn't happening like that anymore. Because you have entered the arena of the mature. The demands of maturity are now placed on you. Which means when you were younger and you screamed, everybody will run to the fridge to get you milk. There's an age you get to and you scream, we. I don't know if you people do that, but. Are you following what I'm saying here? I mean, because I was preaching in London and then I just can't say that. But all right, so are you following what I'm saying? There's that age you get to and there's a demand of maturity. And let me tell you this. Heaven is demanding. Satan is attacking. And you are wondering. Till you become a wanderer. You follow what I'm saying here? Heaven is demanding maturity. Satan is responding to what heaven is demanding. Because Satan never acts, he reacts. In fact, if you understand this principle about the enemy, you will never cry about anything in your life again. Which means Satan does not have it in him to act. When all the children were being killed in Egypt, anybody who didn't understand spiritual things would have said, Kai, this is terrible. Look at the bad thing that is happening in Egypt. What they did not realize is that he was reacting to a savior called Moses that was born. Which means he did not have it in his agenda to kill no child until Moses was born. When Jesus was born, he did not have it in his agenda to kill no child until Jesus was born. Sometimes and every time, hear me, that adversity and that challenge that you are seeing is not an action of Satan. It's a reaction to something heaven is doing. Listen, heaven knows it. Satan knows it. You are the one that is oblivious. So God begins to train you in this ministry of prayer. When you build an altar of prayer, you draw a chair in your room in the middle of the night when nobody's there. Not that you have choir to sing you up and address in the middle of the night for 1 hour. Maluateve, karade, beluatevela, anjost. Let me tell you how it works, because some of you think that's how you go. Rigaba. Let me tell you, you go like this. Then you stand up a bit. Listen, it's part of it. It's part of it. Is part of it. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you go like this, you is part of it. Every car that is accelerating must decelerate. When you are going by a bend, don't you reduce your speed? Is it the 120 you used to enter the bend? No, don't judge yourself and say, Kai, I'm not. You just go, I've entered the bend. Are you following what I'm saying here? The altar of prayer, which means this is not prayer predicated on need. It's not prayer because there's a challenge. It is me fellowshipping with God. Are you following what I'm saying here? And God begins to fine-tune me on the inside. So what then happens is that I'm going on the street. For no reason, I just feel like turning on this corner. You are asked, why did you turn? I don't know. I just felt like turning. Not that you heard a voice. And guess what? I have found out that the biggest breakthroughs and miracles of our life are usually when we just felt like. I didn't think much of it. I just made a turn. And you met the man that said, I've been looking for you for 10 years. The problem many times is that we are waiting for my son. Now they are waiting for you. And then they tell you, turn left, my son. Yes, God. No. Is that, listen, the Bible says that he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. Which means the motions of the spirit are now your motions. The altar of prayer. Now let me show you something very powerful as we close tonight. As you pray, what is the goal of prayer? Why are we praying? Any kind of prayer you are praying, you are involved in prayer, the art of prayer, intercession, supplication. What is the goal of prayer? Please listen and never forget this. God does not dwell in the sense realm. So his answer cannot be judged by the sense realm. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. Years ago, in my country, it was not possible for you to get foreign currency from outside the country. So if anybody sent you foreign currency, please listen to me. You go to a bank where they had special stations and they convert it to the currency of your nation. So the person sends you $100, but you receive so and so naira. Are you following what I'm saying here? It was after a while technology was able to do all of those things and now you can get it. But that was what it was before. Now, do you realize that the person does not have naira to give you? Who was sending you money? He didn't have naira to give you. He didn't have a rand to give you. Are you following what I'm saying here? What he has is dollars. A man can only give you what he spends. Please understand prayer in this dimension. Which means if I'm praying to God, he can only give me what he has and what he spends. God does not spend a rand. Do we understand that? He does not have a bank where he withdraws rand and then he says that, sister so-and-so has asked, go and give her rand. No. Neither does he drive cars. He drives fire. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if he were to give you the fire, they will chase you from Polokwane. Do you get what I'm saying? Imagine that you are driving on the road. Are you getting what I'm saying? In essence, people answer you on the basis of their resources. Are you following this here? So when we pray to God, please listen to me. He does not answer you in the dimension and the value that you have asked for. This is the reason why a lot of people have answered prayers, but they haven't taken the answers. What many people call unanswered prayers is what we call, I don't know if this operates here, what you call unclaimed dividends. I don't know if you know when banks and stock houses will put out and say, these are the unclaimed dividends, which means people bought shares and stocks, but because they didn't know how to claim their dividend and everything, it's there. Nobody will spend it. It will be are you following what I'm saying here? So what many people call unanswered prayer is not true. It's answered 90% of the time. The problem is that it's unclaimed answers. And the reason is this, is that you are used to going to a bank or to an ATM to withdraw money, but you can't withdraw dividend that way. So you are used in a certain way to life, but you haven't been trained about the operations of God's kingdom. And now you are wondering, how come I don't have the answers that I've asked for? Because God does not give cars, he gives words. I don't know if you heard what I just said. That God does not give houses, he gives words. He created the entire universe, not with a material thing. He will answer your need with a material thing. The entire world was created out of unseen material. The principle of the kingdom is that everything seen comes out of something unseen. So what he delivers to you is what you need to create that thing that you have desired. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? This is what, listen, you can call it different things. It is called utterance by the Spirit, or it is called the simple gift of prophecy. That's what Paul called it. The simple gift of prophecy. You see, this is the second dimension of the operation of the spirit of prophecy. The first is what? Prophecy of scriptures. The second is what is called the simple gift of prophecy. That when you pray to a point, like water in a kettle, it is boiling, but there is no noise. When it gets to boiling point, it starts making a sound. Everybody then starts responding around. It was boiling all the while, but there was no response. But the moment you start hearing, everybody knows it's time to now. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means the way the earth works is that God introduces a sound into the heart of a man. As that man releases the sound, everything that is in keeping with that sound starts coming to that man. Please listen to me. How many of you have ever seen a seed walking around looking for nutrients? If you plant, I don't know, I don't know what trees, but let's say you plant orange. Orange is ubiquitous to every country. You plant orange in the ground. How many of you have ever seen orange seeds saying, Kai, 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 there's no phosphorus, I'm coming. So he runs quickly to Joburg to collect phosphorus, then comes back to Polokwane and takes calcium. And then the water, no. When a seed is planted into the ground, everything that is required for the growth of that seed comes to that seed. Can I tell you why everything is not coming yet? The seed of the word has not been planted. So the goal of prayer is not to bring phosphorus and calcium. The goal of prayer is not to bring water. The goal of prayer is to plant that seed in your heart. Which means you pray. After a while, you find yourself saying, hear me, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, this is not your general confession. It is the bubbling forth. The water that becomes steam and makes sound is the water that was in the kettle. Which means prayer is the heat. That heat that you put under the word inside yourself. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? And that as you are praying, you get to a point. Ken Hagin called it the note of victory. You just find yourself laughing sometimes. I got it. And then you start screaming certain words. The light has come. Yes, my light has come. You can't explain it. All of a sudden you find yourself shouting, arise, I arise and I shine. For my light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. You don't have anything in your pocket, but you have words. Never be so poor that you don't have words. I don't know if you heard what I said. Never be so poor that you don't have words. Hear me, money finishes, word perpetuates. Cars depreciate, words. He says, he been dead, yet speaketh. The number two is the simple gift of prophecy. Let me show us one or two scriptures very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I want to just correct something that I see, you know, I mean, in teaching around this that a lot of people have missed out on. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 13. Say this, we are not ordinary people. Listen, don't say we are not ordinary people ordinarily. Do you understand? You can't make a powerful confession ordinarily. Say this, I am not an ordinary person. Say this, I shift atmospheres. Say this, I change outcomes. Say this, the authority of God is vested in its fullness on my human spirit. As I yield to the Lord, words of power and words of dominion are released from my human spirit to cause a shift in the earth. I am not subject to the elements of this world. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah. Yeah. Are we still together? Pastors, I don't think that the church of Jesus has used 10% of what Christ made available. I don't think so. But before we leave here, I say light is coming to the body of Christ. Before we leave here, we are not beggars. We are co-creators with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Shout it, I'm not a beggar. I'm a co-creator with God. Now, please look at that person beside you and ask them, haven't made this confession? What's the state of your prayer altar? A loaded gun and an empty gun make the same noise. Bah, bah. One will effect a result. Another will start two people. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? A lot of us have become, we've learned the theatrics of Christianity. We have learned it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Pastor said, there's a beautiful story in the Bible. I need to tell you this story. It's in the Bible. It's a Bible story. Herod caught James. He bearded him. Apostle of Jesus. Like chicken. Then the Bible says that when he saw he pleased the Jews, he had no plan before. But when he saw that he pleased the Jews, he then took Peter as well. To behead Peter too. Ha. And how do we know it wasn't Peter's fate? Because when the angel released him after all the supernatural encounters, the shackles were broken and all the rest, and the angel left him after the second gate, the Bible says Peter said, he said he thought it was a dream. You can imagine that you are inside your miracle and you say, it's a dream. It was when the angel left him, he said, I've been released. So it wasn't the exercise of Peter's faith. The only thing that changed, the Bible says, and prayer was made without ceasing of the church for Peter. So James was beheaded because there was no prayer. Peter was delivered not by Peter's faith, but by the prayer of the church. Can I now tell you something powerful? They were having prayer meeting. And they were having it in Jesus' mother's house. If you study the New Testament, most of their meetings were in the house of Mary. They were having the meeting there. So Peter knew where to go. He didn't go to his house. He knew where the power that was generated for his release was from. May you know where to go. You know all those believers who say I'm doing Christianity on YouTube. I don't know if it's YouTube, you will go. Some people say I'm an online Christian. I'm the church by myself. I break bread by myself. I worship by myself. I pray by myself. Well, maybe Jesus should have died online for you too. Peter went to this house. Listen carefully to this. Peter went to this house, sir. The Bible says Rhoda. Then he adds a phrase. He says a damsel. In the Greek, a damsel is a young girl below 16 years. The implication is that she has not had true life experience. She was still naive. Are you following what I'm saying here? Young girl. She didn't have experiences to make her doubt God. She got to the door and she saw Peter, too excited. She ran to the prayer leader. Said, Peter has been released. Now, I don't know if you know, every church has those. There are people that when they hold the mic, like I was praying yesterday, I was saying, kakatokoko. Those, you get what I'm saying? So you can imagine, Pastor Joseph is leading prayer, and then those, my brothers, are there, ratwa kaka. You know, sometimes when I hear the tongues, it's like machine gun. Kutakatakata, bakatakata. And I say to God, God, you have to help me. I'm a baby in these matters. Increase my tongue, oh Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? You can imagine the prayer leader. Not Pastor Joseph, but the prayer leader was there. And then the Rhoda runs and says, Sir, Peter has been released. Shut up! Rubbish, nonsense. Please raise your voice. Raise your voice! My question is, what was the prayer point for the release of Peter? The answer was outside. The second time, she said, Peter has been released. What did they say to her? You are mad. You are seeing double. Who is her father? Carry away. Everybody shout, Piro, 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 Piro. Release. Quata, kata, kata, ana, eno, eda, eno. She says, Sir, I'm sorry, I'm not mad, but Peter is outside. Do you know what they said last? They said, it's his ghost. Where I am from, my tribe, they have this culture. They believe that when people die, they are ghosts to roam around the earth for a season. To beat everyone that offended them. And to set to discourse. Interestingly, the Jews have that same belief. They believe it as well. They believe that the ghosts will roam for a season. That's why resurrection was a big deal. Are you following what I'm saying? They believe. So you can imagine the man saying it's his ghost. How can the ghost be at the door if he's not dead? Which means many of us have learned the theatrics. Piro, piro, ana, gedo, jege, ene, ene, nengwa, anga, endo, inono, onono, onono, play for me. And then the drummer goes, du-gu-du, engede, engede. Forgive me. Forgive me. But the problem many a times is that all of that is empty. All of it, that's why we started from where we started yesterday. You can't put an empty kettle on fire. That's true. It's the water of the word that is inside you that prayer boils out. Is somebody follow what I'm saying here? Amen. Things are changing. Amen. Oh, it's a new day for you. Amen. I said it's a new day for you. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:13. Let's close on this. I don't have all the time to go into an exegesis of 1 Corinthians 14. The different theological positions, which ought not to be so. Because in speaking about tongues, there's the devotional use of tongues, and there's the public use of tongues. Just the same way you have faith, all right, that saves, and then there is the gift of faith. Are you following what I'm saying here? So there is the devotional tongue that is to every believer, and then there is the public use of tongues. And Paul masterfully walks through the entire 1 Corinthians 14, just explaining, and you have to study between the lines to know what he's referring to per time. Now look at what he says here. Very important, please. Stay with me. This is important. Everybody read verse 13. What does he say? Want to go? Wherefore let him pray. Just a second. When we read this all by itself, people say what it means is that, you know, if you speak in an own tongue, pray to God that God will give you the gift of interpretation. He didn't say that. He says, let him pray that he may interpret. He didn't say that God may give him the gift of interpretation. There's a difference. And for you to understand what Paul is saying, you have to read the next two verses. Look at the next two verses. Please, this is important. Want to go? Go with me. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Then he says in verse 15, what does he say next? What is it then? He says, I will. Say with me, I will. So he's not saying that God will do something. He says, I will. Come on, say with me, I will. He says, I will pray in the spirit, and who will pray in the understanding? I will pray in the understanding. I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. He didn't say, please listen, he didn't say in the understanding. He said with the understanding, which means I can pray in the spirit till I pray the understanding. He says, go back to verse 13, please. Very important. I need us to understand something here. This is something that the devil has robbed many believers of. Look at verse 13. Let's read it again. Want to go? Wherefore, let him that speaketh. Hold on. Now you are full of the Holy Ghost and you speak in unknown tongues. He says, take advantage of it. He says, let him pray that he may what? Interpret. In essence, the essence of prayer is to get to that place of prophecy. Remember that tongues and interpretation is prophecy. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means we don't stop praying when we are tired. Neither do we stop praying because we have seen a physical answer. The answer to prayer is prophecy. Which means as I'm praying concerning a matter, what will happen is that God will bubble up words in my heart concerning the matter. And once those words are bubbled out of my spirit and I've declared them forth, I can go to sleep. For after God spoke, he rested. So we enter our rest when we get prophecy. Oh. Are we still here? So you are there early in the morning. And you are going on your circles. Yonggicho called it prayer tracks. You're going there, Bira Teva, Abolon, the Scala. You're praying in the spirit. And you're taking scriptures upon scriptures. All of a sudden, you know at that moment where something changes. It's like when a car moves from one gear to another. All the while you are going rebel up. In fact, you may be tired. Shamanama, Erebelebogo, Geluadadaba, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for my son. Elabalaba, Shegogo. You are blessed too. You are blessed. I didn't cause my parents trouble. You won't cause me trouble. Enama, Nakwaga, Gala, Enama, Shagaba, Le, Ba, Bakawa, Tera, Dia, Ba. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My children are taught of the Lord. Great is their peace. You know what happened at that point? You broke into a realm where your answer was waiting. Everything, please listen to me, everything you were doing up to that point was to enter that realm where the answer was. The problem many a times is that we stop praying when we are tired. We continue praying till we see a physical compliment. The challenge with that is this. It was Andrew Murray, I believe, who said it. I read it early this morning. I was reading it and Andrew Murray said, he said, many of us pray ourselves into unbelief. Which means you started out in faith. God gave you your answer. Then you prayed yourself back into unbelief because you didn't know your answer. Let me illustrate it this way. Let me illustrate it this way. And you get it. Sincerely speak, under heaven. I want you to be sincere. When they told you, Pastor Joseph and Pastor Cordelia told you that Reverend, you know, they've been calling me Reverend, I've become a big man. When I left my country, I was pastor. So once I enter now, once I get back and I mount our stage and they call me pastor, I will just walk away. I do not. So imagine they've been telling you, oh, this man of God is coming, that, you know, and all those wonderful things they may have said. I can bet it with you that what you were expecting was one big, tall man. Am I lying? When we're growing up, they will say, tell the truth and let the devil be ashamed. You expected someone with six pack. And when he walks into the church, Pastor said, years ago, somebody came to our church and she said she wanted to see the pastor. We have a terminology, general vicar, the founder. Sir, look at how big I am now. After all the panel beating my wife has done. You can imagine. Look at how big I am. So imagine years ago, yes. It's over 10 years ago. I was seated in the church auditorium. I just had a small feast by the side. I said, oh, I'm here. What is it? The lady looks at me and goes, no, please be serious. It's an emergency. So I said, no, but I'm actually serious. And the pastor said, I'm looking for Pastor Ayo. I've heard a lot about him. Please, it's an emergency. And I got serious. I said, I'm Pastor Ayo. She goes, no. So after a while, I knew she wasn't going to get it. So I went into my office and I told my assistant, I said, go tell her that Pastor Ayo is waiting for her in the office. Because I told her, I said, Pastor Ayo, I'll go tell him. So I went and I sat down at my desk. Now I had positioned myself. I had a cup in one corner. I put the books in the right way. Let no man despise. Magnify your office. I pumped the office, man. I crossed my leg. I had a pen in my hand. Sir, this lady opened the door. She goes, oh no, stop joking. Stop it. I had to tell her. I said, listen, you had better get serious or you get out. This is Pastor Ayo. She couldn't believe it. So I can imagine many of you expecting some, you know, an address. Now here's Pastor Ayo. So imagine, imagine for a second that Pastor Joseph told you Pastor Ayo is outside and didn't give you no picture or anything. I want you to receive and welcome Pastor Ayo. Do you agree with me that you're all will pass by me? All of you, including my protocol, will pass by me and wonder, where is the Pastor Ayo? And then you go back and say, Pastor Ayo is not outside. No, Pastor Joseph tells you, Pastor Ayo told me he's outside. He's outside. Don't keep him standing. Guess what you're going to do again? You will go outside. You will come and meet me. Did you see anybody that looks like a pastor here? Which means expectation determines receipts. If I don't know what to expect, I will have it, it will come, it will go, and I will think I never had it. Are you still here? The answer to prayer is what? Prophecy. It's prophecy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a moving of the Spirit at this moment. Right there on your seat, begin to pray in other tongues.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.